Welcome to the AI in Action podcast, the show where we break down the hype and highlight the practical benefits of data science, machine learning, and artificial intelligence on our everyday lives. To subscribe to the podcast, check us out on iTunes, SoundCloud, and any Android podcast of choice. Hello, welcome to another episode of the AI in Action podcast. I'm your host, Mark Kelly. Today's guest on the show is Declan McKibben. Declan is the Head of Design and Innovation with the ADAPT Centre at Trinity College. The ADAPT Research Centre focuses on developing the next generation of digital technologies that transform how people communicate by helping to analyse, personalise and deliver digital data more effectively for business and individuals. In today's really interesting episode, Declan will share with us some of the exciting projects the centre are working on in computer vision, NLP and machine translation. We'll speak about deep learning, ethics and the very successful Machine Learning Dublin Meetup. This is a really special episode today as I'm proud to announce that the ADAPT Centre will be one of our key sponsors at the inaugural AI Awards, which will take place this November. Hope you really enjoyed today's episode. So without further ado, let's get on to the show. Declan, you're very, very welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark.
Declan, tell me a little bit about your background and how you got interested in data science, machine learning and AI.
Okay, so I'm, working for many years now, actually over 20 years when you add it up, which is quite long. In my early career, I got into ICT engineering, ICT project management, moved through various roles in security and infrastructure management and operations and enterprise systems applications. Then I got into digital media and software engineering and software engineering management. Then I got into health for a year. And then a few years ago, almost 4 years ago, I started here at the ADAPT Centre. My role here is heading up the design and innovation team, which is largely engineering, project management, business analysis, consulting, and innovation. They're kind of the key activities that we get involved in.
So there's a lot in there. Tell us about some of the interesting work that you're doing and projects that you're involved in with industry.
I'm really lucky to have this job, actually. It's because we've got a really exciting kind of diverse range of projects and that we get involved in. And maybe if I kind of step back to what the ADAPT Centre is first, it's a Science Foundation Ireland funded research centre. There are a number of research centres in Ireland. The ADAPT Centre focuses on digital content technology research, so it's all about digital media. And we're a large centre, we're over 200 researchers, so that's professors, principal investigators, postdoctoral researchers and PhD students. And we operate around across the four Dublin universities, primarily in Trinity College here in Dublin, but also Dublin City University, DIT and UCD. So one of the mandates of an SFI research centre is to have an impact on the knowledge economy. So not just kind of generating research or training students or training researchers, but also connecting with industry and trying to achieve technology transfer impacts to kind of feed the knowledge economy. So a big part of what we do in what's called the Spokes program, where I am, is to collaborate with industry partners to try and solve specific problems that aren't easily solved conventionally from commercially available solutions. And that could be driving efficiency in the organization, trying to get additional insight from their data. It could be in the product development space as well. We also do quite a few projects around computer vision. So we recently finished a project where we worked with our partner to kind of help discover certain objects in video sequences and be able to kind of detect and track those objects, so understand semantically what those objects are, and then being able to track them across video frames. And then as a further iteration of that project, being able to kind of synthesize new objects into that scene, and using then the earlier detection part is using convolutional neural networks, which is a particular deep learning technique to identify objects using computer vision technology, but also classical techniques for you know, if we're inserting an object back into a scene, that we're able to kind of texturize it and blend it and shadow it to make it look very natural in the scene.
So would that be like in a movie where you kind of you want to change the background and kind of insert a person into a scene and kind of have them in the background?
Absolutely. So image segmentation is a big part of the kind of research that drives that technology. And we have researchers here in Trinity, Francois Pitier, Rosane Deo, Vladimir Kirilov, who would be computer vision experts. And in fact, we have a colleague in here, Anil Corcoran, who won an Oscar for his work in computer vision technology. There was a movie called The Matrix many years ago, and a very famous scene about how the kind of camera was able to sweep around in a 360 view, and the scene slowed down. And it was quite a, at the time, it was a, quite an innovation in movies. And so some of our researchers who would have worked with big production houses and the kind of you know, movie production facilities, you know, they're now taking those techniques that they would have honed there and applying them onto consumer technology. So you've got like a Samsung phone there, I've got an iPhone. You know, increasingly we're seeing you know, kind of photography and image processing and video processing features being deployed on this kind of consumer and mobile technology. So in all of that, there is computer vision based AI and lots of other AI, obviously, and classic techniques.
I think I was very lucky. I actually saw that presentation about how they actually inserted this, and I think there was like an image of a troll, and they were kind of with crazy hair, and they were showing how they were actually putting in and adapting to all the other people.
So image, foreground, background, image segmentation is still not a solved problem. And it's difficult around hair, for example, right? Because it doesn't have a predictable kind of contour. So that they're the kinds of problems that these people think about. Yeah. If you look at the research actually in ADAPT, you know, we organize our research around five themes, and they tend to be the themes with which we connect to industry. So theme A is around natural language processing. We call it understanding global content, but it's natural language processing, computational linguistics. So within here, we have natural language understanding, natural language generation to kind of generate novel summaries from kind of knowledge graphs or other sources of text. So two of the big problems in here actually are machine translation and question answering, because, you know, you can truly understand a piece of human language if you can then actually make a response to it or transform it into a different version.
Which is really difficult to do in real time, to actually respond to it in real time, because there's so many different options available to actually, and possible sequences, the legacy, latency of that can be very challenging to actually do.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, infrastructure is much more available now, and the algorithms are becoming more efficient. You know, like that's kind of, that sort of response is getting better. I would have kind of thought that probably, you know, kind of speech and computer vision, kind of machine learning classification is probably a more onerous task. Like, what you often find actually is that it's the training and the data preparation, the data wrangling and building the pipeline that does all of that is the expensive thing. And but then again, you can kind of scale your infrastructure to kind of achieve it, you know, so like Azure and Amazon, they're all offering kind of GPU on demand now. And even internally here, we have, I don't know how many nodes of kind of NVIDIA, really, really good processors. And so the training and the analysis is the bit that's hard. Often the classifiers can be, you know, optimized to be quite efficient. So it's kind of less of a concern, I think, than you would think. The second theme is also related to natural language processing, but it's machine translation. So, you know, it used to be rules-based machine translation, and then it was statistical machine translation was really the big thing for a while. Now it's neural machine translation. So it's using deep learning techniques to translate human languages. So this is the same kind of technology that Google uses. And we've been working on that for a while. So some of the cool projects we've done in this area would have been around, you know, multimodal machine translation. So working with like a large e-commerce company to make their machine translation even better by being more attentive to the kind of the visual channel. So looking at the images that are associated with the listing, for example, or the product. And, you know, the simple example here is if it's a picture of an Apple iPhone, you know that if you're translating Apple, it'll be Apple the phone you're translating, not Apple the fruit, into the target language. So we find that, you know, multimodal machine translation offers, and deep learning technology offers the chance really to leverage all of these signals to have a much more effective prediction or a much more effective outcome. So machine translation, it's really big for us. We've got a bunch of partners in there, and they're kind of actively coming to us. And it isn't solved because we now have neural machine translation. There's huge opportunities to improve it with, you know, techniques like, you know, neural incremental retraining to make it more efficient, you know, to leverage post edits that human translators may have made to make the ultimate or the overall machine translation process more successful, and also a lot of research around translators. So human translation is still a huge business. because there's lots of things that you need human translators for. You know, it could be, you know, kind of legal documents for which you can't rely on the sort of the gist that you get from a machine translation system. It could be contracts, it could be licenses, it could be, you know, for example, a movie subtitle translation or script translation where there's a sort of an aesthetic effect to it, where you need to kind of transcreate the from the source language into the target language, and that becomes more of a challenge of kind of authorship than it does just machine translation. So we're still doing a lot of research around domain adaptation, for example, to make machine translation better in specific domains by training it up to be that, but also supporting translators to make them more productive and more effective. And if anything, the need to translate content is getting bigger because we're creating more content and markets are more global, and people who are selling products want to reach more global markets, you know?
Yeah.
So Netflix, for example, I mean, they're constantly pushing into new languages and trying to source content in new languages.
Yeah, Netflix seem to be really, really engaging with the market. I remember looking at the Kaggle competition that they were doing, and I think they gave away a prize of like $1 million to get people to improve their recommendation system as well. And it was just really interesting how they keep pushing the boundaries on that side of it. Mm-hmm. So there's a variety of different algorithms within AI. Deep learning, obviously a subset of machine learning, is starting to becoming more and more in the media. If we've seen different areas, there's a lot of hype about it. There's a lot of good work around it. What's your kind of thoughts about it? Do you think it's the future of AI, or what's your...
Yeah, I mean, it's not new. So it's been around with, Hinman, I think, for like 30 years or something when the kind of algorithms are written. And it's just really that the kind of, you know, both access to data and the kind of compute power that you need is becoming, more pervasive, right? And there's a lot of hype about it. There's a lot of hype about AI. People tend to anthropomorphize it. You know, you've got movies like Ex Machina and Her, and iRobot and various things like this. It's always kind of, you know, it's mostly doom, actually, mostly a post-apocalyptic wasteland where we're basically getting chased down by robot dogs is how a lot of the kind of, the entertainment media characterizes it. But I mean, they're much more kind of simple task-based optimizations that people are making. There's a very positive side to it as well. You know, you would expect if translation gets better, people should be able to communicate with each other more effectively. You know, with more automation, you know, perhaps people become more productive. In an ideal world, maybe people would have to work less. I don't know. But there's a lot of kind of AI-driven smart manufacturing coming in, smart logistics, drone deliveries and so on. I think that's all like really, really encouraging. It's difficult to kind of get through the hype because when you're dealing with kind of science communications, a lot of people just get absorbed by these kind of hype notions. The practical side of it is that, you know, it is becoming very productive. Industry is really interested in it. We do have this kind of channel of dissemination of research outputs and technology transfer from the universities to support businesses in Ireland and globally. So it's very exciting and very encouraging. You know, there are obviously, you know, kind of ethical and privacy and governance issues to deal with. Who owns the AI? Data wealth, you know, who owns data wealth?
Decision logic and how they actually came about making those decisions as well.
So explainability is a big one, the transparency of the decision. And I think, you know, GDPR is actually going to really help with a lot of kind of traceability around privacy, for example, on who's using your data. How did you, you know, what are you doing with my data? How are you using it to make personalized recommendations and so on? I think that's pretty healthy. I think probably there are, you know, issues, kind of, you know, wider kind of, you know, country and regional issues around, you know, kind of ownership and licensing of AI, especially where it confers, you know, a very strong sort of monopolistic or competitive advantage on a limited number of organizations and their ownership structure and all that kind of stuff. So I think they're all issues to be dealt with in the future. There's other issues around kind of, you know, automation and jobs. People always go like, oh, it's going to take all my jobs. We're going to have no jobs in the future.
What's your take on that? Because depending on who you speak to and depending on what reports are there, some are saying, but it's going to be net neutral. It's going to take away more. It's going to add more. Do you think it's to take more away?
You know, people are doing jobs nowadays that, you know, nobody even knew would exist 20 years ago. You know, when I kind of set out you know, when I kind of graduated, yeah, over 20 years ago from college, you know, I didn't think I would be like, you know, a head of design and innovation, you know, whatever that meant, you know. But I've kind of gravitated towards it, and you know, you certainly get to a certain position and you realize that, well, actually a lot of your experiences and a lot of your interests are now kind of building on each other, and you're absolutely the perfect person for this job at this time. But that will all evolve, you know. And so I think people will have different jobs in the future. I think it'll be very hard to automate, you know, creativity and kind of aesthetic things. I think, you know, AI will kind of help make people more productive, that people will always want, you know, new products and services, and people will always need to be innovating in those and delivering those, right? So yeah. there'll be a cycle of demand out there.
So there is exponential growth happening, and it's just the kind of element of kind of upskilling people to go on the journey to do these roles and these kind of jobs as well. Can you tell us a little bit about how you're helping people and kind of students upskill in these areas and kind of the pipeline of talent coming through to kind of fulfill some of these roles?
Sure, so I can't speak in detail to the specific programs that we have, but I know that across all of the universities, there's a much more increased focus on AI, machine learning, data science. So people coming from different disciplines, getting into master's programs, which kind of give them those skills. So more applied, industry ready kind of skill sets. And I guess the, you know, presidents of the universities have been listening to industry and trade groups and government around that, and that they have developed and are developing programs for that.
Tell us a little bit about Ed Machine Learning Meetup that you run once a month, because it must be the largest and one of the most successful meetups in the country. It's a fantastic success, and the content is incredible. If anyone that goes to us can vouch for that as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so back in like late 2015, myself and some colleagues here in the Adapt Centre kind of felt that there, you know, we were already going to meetups like Hackers and Founders and Agilistas, and you know, there's lots of startups. They're a great community event, as you would know, you've kind of started one yourself. So they're informal community kind of grassroots forums for kind of meeting, discussing, exchanging ideas and networking. So we felt, well, you know, there wasn't really one that was, or any in Dublin, that were really kind of ticking the box in terms of, you know, natural language processing at the time. Although there are some since then, and I know Alien are involved in one of those via Sebastian Reuter. So we said, well, look, let's start one up, you know. And we kind of developed a kind of a mission statement and a terms of service. One of our academics here, Alex O'Connor, who subsequently left, actually, he was the principal investigator on it, so that we would have some sort of a, you know, a content governance on it. We decided on the format, and we kicked off in January 2016. And I think for the first one, we were in Dogpatch, and you know, capacity was 100 people. It literally booked out, you know, in a day and a half. So we run a monthly event. It's the last Monday of every month, except for December. Sometimes we run extra events. So this month, for example, we had a bonus event hosted by Microsoft One down in their new campus in Leopardstown. We get at least 100 people out every month. We've got over 4,000 members at the moment. So yeah, it's the longest running, definitely the biggest, probably the most active one in Ireland.
How can people find out a little bit more about yourself and the Adapt Centre?
Okay, so adaptcentre.ie, so adaptcentre.ie, and you can find out about us there. If you want to get in touch, we're always open for business. So it's collaboration@adaptcentre.ie. You could check out the Machine Learning Meetup on meetup.com and just look for Machine Learning Dublin, you'll find us there. And we run events every once in a while. I'm not sure if there's anything coming up really soon, but we have the AI Awards, right?
Sure.
Are coming up soon, so we're involved in that.
Yeah.
And so we'll be there. And so yeah, so if you want to just know more, get in touch. If you are in industry and you're figuring out, how do I mediate this AI thing, and you want a bit of a steer, we're happy to have a chat about that. If you're a researcher or a research and development function in any sized enterprise, and you have particular challenges, you want to tap into the latest and greatest research, you want to augment your team, you want to bootstrap a research program, definitely hit us up over that as well. So collaboration at adaptcentre.ie.
Fantastic. Yeah. Declan, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. Thank
Grant,
you.
Yeah, cheers.
Thank you.
All right.
That's all for this episode of AI in Action. Hope you really enjoyed it. If you'd like to stay updated with all the latest podcasts, then please head over to the website aiinaction.ie and subscribe to the newsletter to get the podcast delivered straight to your inbox. Finally, I'd like to take the time to let you know about the AI Awards. We're now looking for applications from academia and industry professionals to apply. Set up in 2018, the AI Awards are a not-for-profit business, community-led initiative that was set up to celebrate the best in artificial intelligence and data science in Ireland. Our focus is to support the AI community by recognising the hard work and dedication of those working in the field of AI, data science and machine learning. We see this as a fantastic opportunity to showcase your work and skills to the AI community on the island of Ireland and also help raise the profile of Ireland as a destination for AI investment. Winning an award brings industry-wide recognition, raises your company profile, and increases awareness of your brand and product. Applications take only a couple of minutes, so go ahead, apply today at www.aiawards.ie. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you again next week.